Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hey, hey, Botcast time. It's February, the month of love. And I'm here today in a very unusual place. If the audio sounds a little unusual for today's Botcast, that's because it's been recorded on the road. Well, actually, in a car park. In fact, there is every chance that someone might knock on the window in a minute and ask what we're doing.
This does look probably very dodgy
on
the outside.
Just make sure you keep your clothes on.
Okay.
With me as my guest on this month's podcast is a man who's travelled a long way to be here today. It must have taken you hours.
About 2.5.
It's a long way. Cross country.
Yes, very much so.
No motorways where you come from.
There isn't.
but they have got tarmac roads and electricity. And all the way from East Anglia. Glenn Piggott is with me. Hello, Glenn.
Hi, Nigel.
We are, now we will come real on this. So Glenn is someone that I've known for quite a while. Been a member of EC for several years now. One of our trusted suppliers. And with his lovely wife, Anna,
runs
a web design business. Mm-hmm. Called Soundwave.
That's right, Soundwave Marketing.
And they're very, very, very good web designers, amongst other things. We'll talk a bit about what you do in a moment or two. But they've done work for me in the past, built some of the EC's websites and things.
Yeah.
And so Glenn knows what he's talking about. And you sent me a note, Glenn, several weeks ago now.
Yes.
With a little suggestion about what we should talk about on the book. And I'm interested, what triggered that note? What was going on? What triggered you sending that? What incident occurred?
Well, we get a lot of instances. It's very regular, actually. We get this instance from members and clients, especially when it comes to the point where they are about to put their website live.
Yeah.
So it's getting quite a critical point in the whole process. They're all fired up. They're all ready to go. And then...
And quite a lot of work has gone on at this point. So they've spent some time shopping around, speccing design, reviewing work that you've done.
Coming up the content.
And we're approaching fulfillment. Yeah. It's almost good to go.
And then we trip over.
Oh, dear.
Because what happens is it's all to do with their domain name.
Uh-huh.
And the domain name is what... Because when you've got your current website up and running, your domain name's there, it's been registered, everything's working, you don't worry about it. You get on with your day. But when it comes to actually sometimes making the necessary changes you have to make to your domain name to put a new website live, that's when the problems
appear. What sort of problems appear?
The kind of problems that we find that appear are when we put a new website live, the website normally sits on our servers.
Yes.
And then we need to make some changes to the settings of the domain name in order to point that domain to
at
our
your
servers.
Yeah.
So the problems that may occur is that we need to access the domain name, normally with a username and password.
Yeah.
And they have no idea what that username and password is.
Yeah.
It may be that the previous web developers or IT companies may have registered the domain for them.
Sometimes who have disappeared into
and
the
ether. Completely disappeared.
Literally, no idea where they are. And yet, actually, people find that the domain name isn't actually owned by them at all. It's owned by...
That happens quite a lot.
The web developers.
Obviously, because when the web developers or the IT companies registered the domain names, they're using their own...
Yeah.
accounts on their providers,
because there's nothing malicious in this. It's just that's the easiest way to do it.
Absolutely.
But then as things move on and relationships develop and sometimes paths part and but then you find out as a business, and I can relate to this. I can think of several, one or two quite very prominent members of EC that have come across this.
Yeah.
And they've built a new website and they're all good to go, but they and you, or indeed whoever, can't get access
to
the domain because the access rights are either owned by somebody else or someone else knows the password. So let's talk about this then. So there's a couple of scenarios here. Well, one is where you, let's say that you do actually own the domain, but you've no idea how to access... Do they call it the DNS? Is that right? Is that what it's called? Or have I just made that up?
No, never mind. DNS is the settings of the domain name. So that tells that when you put your domain name into your web browser, it looks at the DNS settings, which tells it which server to go for, to look for the website and what have you. Yeah. Put it in layman's terms. So the problems we will come across are things, as you say, Sorry, I forgot the question.
Well, the situations where people can't get access to it. So yes. if I own the domain,
yes,
but I've no idea what my password is or how to access it. Mm-hmm. What's the solution in that situation, Glenn?
It depends if you've registered the domain name or not yourself, because obviously then you would have an account with.
Yes, okay, but I haven't. But at least it's in my name.
Yeah, absolutely, the account that's.
But it's sat on someone else's account.
But it's sat on someone else's account.
So let's just explain that then, because just to be clear, so I gotta make sure I'm clear on this as well. So it is possible for like your web designer or someone else to actually register the name.
It is.
They could put it in your name.
Yes.
But that domain sits on their servers typically.
Yeah, in their
and
account.
The issue here is having access to the servers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, having access to the web developers. Domain name provider's account.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. I'm with you. So what happens? What do you do in that situation?
You can. If it's a .uk domain name, the governing body, if you like, who look after them is called Nominet.
Right.
And you can, because you are the legal owner of the domain name.
Yes.
And you can put in. Tell them what your situation is, etc.
Yes.
And because you are the legal owner of the domain name, you can. Get that transferred to a new provider.
Okay.
It may take a bit of work and a bit of time to go through the process, but as long as you're the legal owner, you should be up to
okay. But a more common scenario is where actually the legal ownership technically
is normally the web designer or the IT company who've registered the domain.
So obviously, ideally, you can go to them and ask them.
Yes.
And do it that way. Mm-hmm. But what if you can't for whatever reason? What if they don't exist anymore? What if they've fled the country, you know, what should someone do in that situation?
It's very difficult. We have had cases where we've had to register a new domain name and start again.
Literally, because the easiest, quicker sort is to do that. Which brings us round to, I know some of the key points that you were very keen to get across to members because of the experiences that you've had with people. And this first one is and this I think will be a bit of a wake-up call for a lot of people. Because, like, who owns your domains?
Mm.
And are you sure? Is the point, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And because the best time to fix this is when you don't need it imminently.
Yeah.
And therefore, the first point, and it's why I was keen to take you up on your suggestion to just do this little recording around this topic, is because you're saying people should treat their domains as an asset.
Absolutely.
Of the business, because although they don't kind of have a physical manifestation, they are very, very important, and now's the time to make sure that you do have legal ownership.
Yes,
is the first thing, and that can easily be transferred. It's very straightforward, and any web developer with any kind of integrity will have no issue with transferring legal ownership, will they?
Absolutely. When we register domain names, we always register them in the client's name.
Yes, so that's the kind of normal thing
right
to
from
do.
Day one,
and frankly, even if someone does play silly buggers and wants some money for it, well, it's a lot better to do that now and get control than wait at some point in the future. So get it in your name, and then also know and document somewhere, and whether you email it to yourself or stick it in a Dropbox folder or whatever, but have somewhere where you know then how to actually access that domain and do things to it. So it's a very simple thing to do.
Yeah.
And at some point, I promise you, at some point, whether it's in a year's time or 2 years' time or even 5 years' time, at some point you will want to do stuff to your domain. And at that point in time, you will need to know how to access it.
Absolutely.
And that's the first piece here. So let's just talk through then the domain names, because you mentioned Nominet earlier on.
Yes.
So how do domain names work? You know, what's included when you register a domain? So talk to us a bit about that. Let's just make sure everyone's up to speed on this, because...
Well, to be clear, a domain name is the bit before the .com or the .co.uk.
Yes.
It comes
so
up,
my bit, entrepreneurcircle .org, or whatever.
Yep, that's your domain name.
Yep.
So that is what a domain name is. What's included, it depends who you use to register your domain name with. You can go to people who just give you the name.
Who do you use?
We use 123Reg and Fast Hosts. And we try and spread them across two or three providers.
Okay. GoDaddy.
We don't, but yeah, I know people who do. GoDaddy, Fast Host, 101, 123Reg.
They're the main players,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah. There's hundreds of them out there, to be fair. So it depends which provider you go with. They will usually provide you with half a dozen email accounts and a little bit of web space to put a small website on.
Yes.
And various other options.
And I mean, the cost of domains fundamentally is very, very cheap.
This is half the problem. A domain is under a tenner to register it
typically,
for a year.
Yeah.
And so there's no big monetary value on it. People don't give it the value domain names necessarily deserve.
Yeah, and that's because the intrinsic value, as you say, is very low. But once you start to market it and it becomes a prominent part of your brand, then the value of that domain name increases exponentially to your business, and that's why you need to be able to control it and own it and be able to do things with it.
You imagine the likes of Apple, if they suddenly, I mean, there was the big lawsuit recently about Apple.com between Apple Records and Apple Computers, who should own it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's how big they see
well,
it.
Well, I had some members of EC, a colleague of mine worked with us for quite a long time, got Stuart Bevans, and going back a long time ago, but Stuart's dad runs a business called Shire, and it's a stationery company. And he had the domain shire.com or .co, it was .com, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And Stuart took a phone call one day from a very senior director at the big international pharmaceutical company, and they ended up doing a 6-figure deal. Because the big multinational PLC wanted the domain name. And actually that was a very sizable transaction that kind of ensued. And that value wasn't in the technicality of the domain, it was in the brand equity that had been developed. So just to understand this technically, so you go and you register a domain with, you say, 123, GoDaddy, FastHost, whoever else it is. And they then point that domain. So when someone logs onto the internet, those hosting companies then do, they set it up on their servers, and there's some settings on the domain, and it points it to a place on a server somewhere on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, where your website physically is.
Where your website resides. Yeah, that's what has to happen. Yes. And that's why when you move, if I move my web developer to a new one, they need to point the website now at
the new set of servers with the new website
on it, and that's why you need to access the settings, because at the moment the website is pointing to servers A, and the new website that you've built and got all excited about is on server B, and we need to point the domain to server B, not server A, and that's why we need access to this. Now we've now encountered a problem here. I'm going to be honest what's happened, because Glenn and I have been sat, we're in this car park, and we're actually at the National Motorcycle Museum, and we're recording this podcast. It's about 5:30 in the evening, and we've just been at the Deborah Searle event. And as I said, Glenn's travelled a long way across the country, so let's record this after the Deborah Searle event. So we've come into the car park here, and we've pulled into a quiet corner of the car park, looking a bit dodgy. And I kept all the lights on so we could see all our notes, etc. Because believe it or not, there is some preparation that goes into these broadcasts. And my very clever Range Rover, which we're sat in, which is very nicely soundproof, so it makes for a very reasonable listening experience, but it's so clever that obviously kind of 15 minutes in, it's now turned all the lights off. So what we're going to do now, Glenn, to make sure we can carry on this broadcast, now we're now going to start the car. So so we've now turned on the range, so the battery doesn't go flat, and we've put the lights back on, and that little low hum is just going to be there. What I will do, just in case. He says he's no idea actually what he's doing here, because all the settings are so clever on this car. But what I am going to do is I will turn the very quiet and very sophisticated fans off, so that will at least hopefully that's nice and quiet, isn't it? So we're back now. So we're back now. Domain names, as opposed to Range Rover operating instructions,
climate control.
But we can now at least see, and it does look a little bit less dodgy.
Yes.
The two of us kind of sat in the car. So we've covered off then, making sure that you are the legal owner of your domain name and you know how to access it. We understand now a bit more about what domains get and how that kind of works. If I want to transfer a domain to new servers, it's fairly straightforward to do.
Yes, but this is where the other problems could come across, is because your previous web designer has the domain their account, and you like to physically transfer that domain to your new web designer's account, so everything's in the one place.
Right, okay, yes.
Maybe your relationship has broken down with your old web, so you don't want to talk to them again, so you have to physically, in as much as digital way you can physically do something, transfer your domain name from the old people to your new people. So there is a process to go through that if you want to transfer your domain from one provider to another.
Okay.
And it all depends on the type of domain you have.
Right.
If you've got a .com, for example, or .org, or one of those kind of domains, there is quite a lengthy process to go through. You have to request, the person you are transferring it to has to request the transfer.
Right.
And there are other things you need to make sure, that the domain is unlocked.
Okay.
And you have to request an authorization code.
Oh, okay.
It's quite a lot of
faff. There's a faff factor here, isn't there?
There is a faff factor.
Yeah.
And then the person at the other end has to authorize it, and then it takes 7 days for like a calling off period.
Okay.
And then finally, it's in your new account.
Right, okay.
With a .uk domain.
But at that point, typically still pointing at the old servers.
Yes.
It's just that this is just the transfer of the ownership this at is this point.
Yeah, the transfer who looks after the domain for you. So that may be yourself, or it may be your web developers or IT people. .uk's are a lot easier.
Do you mean .co.uk's? Or
all, as long as it's .co.uk, .org.uk. It's also, you can now also get just .uk as well.
Yes.
And that's a lot easier. That only takes about 2 or 3 hours compared to a week. And there's a little thing called a IPS tag, and that identifies who has registered the domain.
Okay.
And you just change that to your new provider, and that switches over. So that's really easy, really quick.
Okay. So when people are choosing domains then? So, I mean, obviously, in the old days, kind of like 5 years ago, in the old days, really, we only had the two choices. It's kind of .co.uk for businesses, or it was .com. And now, because there's just a plethora. I mean, I think you were telling me earlier that there's like 300 different, which is ridiculous. Like all the .uk's and all the different countries and all sorts have all got different.
Yeah, that's right.
Different bits now. What I've got a view on this, but I'm interested in what your view is. What would you advise people to go for when they're securing a domain name?
It all depends where your customers are. So if you've just got UK based customers only, I would always go with the .co.uk, assuming it's available, of course.
Yeah.
Two reasons for that. A, you're only dealing with UK people, so that's kind of what they expect. Yeah. It confirms to them that you are a UK based business, you're not
that's true.
Somewhere else in the world. And also from a Google SEO point of view, they know that your website is targeted at UK people.
Yes. Okay.
We've got a client who is an IT company, and they thought that, I could see what they were thinking, but they registered their domain as their company name .it.
Okay.
Because they're an IT company.
Is that Italy?
That's Italy. Mm. So the problem is they're having is Google thinks they are targeting Italian people.
Yeah. So exactly.
So that's the issue they've got there.
There
are ways around it, of course. .com. Generally speaking, is if you're worldwide.
Yes, I quite like having the .coms. It kind of trots off the tongue a little bit better. But I guess I've always kind of harboured international ambitions.
Yeah.
But for most of our domains, I've tried to acquire and have in most cases both the .co.uk and the .com.
Yes.
And then I think I'm right in saying when I do that, and you put me right technically here. So we would lead with the kind of .co.uk domain for it. So like the best of is sat on the best of .co.uk. That's the domain we talk about. That's what it all is. Yeah, yeah. But if anyone types in the best of .com,
it works.
Just redirects straight to the best of .co.uk. Yeah. And which leads to another question then, is in terms of, you know, what could you do is you could acquire all sorts of domains, couldn't you? And
you could keep going and going and going.
Well, I did once, because we had some trouble once. Obviously, the best of has, we have franchisees in lots of different cities and towns around the country.
Yeah.
And we've been going about a year or so, and we had a few hundred franchisees at that point. And everything sits off the main domain. So it's thebestof.co.uk /Brighton, / Bristol, / Bradford, whatever. And then we had someone buy, not us, not our franchisees, someone else bought the best of Bolton.
Yeah.
.co.uk and basically ripped off our site and sat on the best of Bolton. And so I got lawyers involved and we got it back, but it was a pain in the ass. Yeah. And then it happened again only a matter of weeks later with someone in Worcester, from memory. They bought the best of Worcester. Oh, God. So again, fired off the legal letters. But this is costing me, you know, 600-700 quid each time. to get this sorted out. And I did. It was all sorted out. We'd protected the name and everything, the brand name. Mm-hmm. So I ended up buying like about 1,300 yeah. domains. Like I became, like from nowhere, overnight, became one of the UK's most prolific domain name holders. But I bought all these names purely as a defensive measure. Mm-hmm. Just because if I had them, no one else could kind of get them. But because then they started bringing out all these other, what do you call them, suffixes, aren't they?
That's
you
know, right, yeah.
All the different bits.
Extensions.
That's yeah. right, the extensions. So the .UKs, the dot, all the other bits and pieces yeah. you can get, .TVs, everything else.
Yeah, .plumber.
And how far could you go?
Oh, just non-stop.
So, well, but you can't go, but practically,
yeah,
it's not worth going all that way, is it? And this is, again, where... I mean, there is law that protects you. That's why when it happened with the Best Of, because we've been trading for a year or so when this all started to occur, my lawyers were able to fire off a very fierce letter. It would have scared me to receive it, but it basically said, "Look, you know, you are passing off. It's an established legal position where you know they could buy the Best Of Bolton and run it as a five-a-side football league." Website, yeah. for instance, because that's not what we were doing. Mm-hmm. But what you can't do is run it as a website promoting local businesses, because that's what we do, and we've invested in the brand equity, and we own the name The Best Of, and you've bought this domain and set this website yeah. up to look like us, yeah. Yeah. and the law doesn't allow you to do that. And so it was very straightforward, and we probably had, I don't know, dozen of those cases going back 4, 5, 6, well, not even 10 years nearly now probably, but they all got resolved very quickly in our favour because of the precedents and the legal situation. But that is a messy thing to do, to own a lot of domains, but owning one or two others is a smart mm-hmm. thing to do. And it's all also common misspellings.
Yes,
so we've got one or two different spellings of entrepreneurs that yes, we bought, and we just point them at our main site. That's so right. if someone does type it in wrong, it still goes to us.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I want to remove the kind of the hassle and grief from yeah. my memories.
You see that sometimes people do what's called domain parking, where they buy a whole load of domains and just hold on to them.
Yes.
And if you type in something slightly wrong,
yes,
you get this funny looking website with lots of adverts.
Yes.
And come off it straight away.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So when it's choosing domain names, keep it short.
Absolutely.
But obviously, all the kind of really short ones have kind of gone, haven't they?
Absolutely, yeah. If you've got a company which has three initials, say BBC, for
yeah.
example, ITV.
Yeah, yeah, they're all gone, aren't they?
Any domain name which is three characters long.
Now, I thought we just bought 54p.
Have you?
Yeah. We're doing a little campaign.
54p.
And we've got 54p.com.
Oh, it must have become available.
Yeah.
Because all three character domain names are gone. Exception every rule.
But yeah. You do have to be careful because you can't buy, well, you can, but you'll end up getting into trouble because they'll catch you out. If I bought a domain now, bestapplewebsite.com.
Yeah.
So I might be able to get, but at some point they're going to find that site and they're going to come down like a tiller and cause me a load of hassle and grief.
Absolutely.
So you do have to be careful when you're buying of trademarks, because you may be able to buy it. That doesn't mean you'll be able to use it forever and it will be okay.
Absolutely.
So be careful of that. Mm-hmm. What about hyphens and numbers in domains, Glenn?
If you can avoid them, then do. Because the problem with hyphens is, we had sound-wave.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
Because Soundwave was taken up by somebody else, but we managed to get hold of that domain name.
Yeah,
we found people were just missing the dash out
yes.
of the middle,
yeah.
and people said, "Oh, I sent you an email."
Yeah,
they haven't.
Yeah.
And then they checked the email address and they hadn't put the dash in. So a lot of people do miss out dashes. It looks fine on paper when you write the domain name on something,
but it's hard to type in, isn't
it? Hard to
you type can sometimes be better off putting. It could be like the Soundwave.
Yes,
or Soundwave Web or something.
Yeah.
You can build the bits rather than putting dashes in to create a unique domain that kind of works.
And the thing with numbers is that the number or is that the way the number's spelled?
Yes.
So is it one?
Yeah,
number,
is fine if you are reading it.
Absolutely,
but it can be less obvious when you're saying it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that?
Try and keep it as simple and as memorable as you possibly can with what's coming.
Although, again, it is possible in there to 54p.com. It could be, I can get the 54p.com, but I could also buy fifty-four-ur.com.
Yeah, just to make sure you cover it.
So and just to be clear, you point the web, you put the website on the one you want to lead with,
yeah,
and then you just divert the other domain to that website, so it you don't have to duplicate the website or anything. It just,
no, that's right.
It's called a redirect, isn't it?
Yes, it's called a redirect. So you have like a master domain name, which is your main one. Because if you have, and you have to do it in a certain way, do that in a certain way as well, because Google will see that as two websites with the same content.
Yes.
And duplicate content, and it doesn't. Google don't like that.
Well, they don't like it from a search engine optimization perspective.
No,
it depends to what extent that's an important part of your strategy. When you are when you're writing your domain in your marketing, because the domain when you copy off your computer, often it will say HTTP. ://
Blah blah blah. Yeah.
www.sound-wave.whatever. So how much of that preamble should you put in? Do I need to put the www?
Today, in 2017, no. If you see a website, if you see some words with .co.uk or .com at the end of it, you know straight away it's a website address. You don't need the three W's in front of it anymore.
You did in 1997.
Indeed. Excuse me, you did in 1997. And if I remember rightly, the people who invented the internet put the www dot at the beginning, just so people recognised it was something to do.
It was a worldwide
web.
The World Wide Web on the internet, you know.
When all this was fairly new, so they knew exactly what it was. Technically, and...
Little pop quiz, actually, people here. So, do you want to listen? So, you're listening to this in February of 2017, okay? And my question is, don't answer it yet, Glenn.
Okay.
When was the very first domain name ever registered? Okay, so I want to know how long ago that was. As a little think, we'll tell you the answer to that in a minute or two. When was the first domain name registered? So no need to use, certainly no need to use the HTTP, don't you? Because all the browsers kind of work all that out.
That's all automatic.
And you don't even, because now when you are on the, if you're browsing, whatever browser you're in, if you just type soundwave.com, mm-hmm. and hit return, it will go and find the website, won't it, and work it through typically. So you don't need to clog your marketing up.
No, that's right. And again, short and simple, you don't need the www in front of your website.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, from a technical point of view, make sure you ask your web designer that they have... with Google, treats the www dot and the non-www dot as two separate websites.
Okay.
So you need to make sure your web designers have registered with Google which one is the actual
site. That's interesting. Otherwise you could again get duplicate.
Oh, because you then get duplicate.
Very interesting. I mean, domains nowadays don't make anything like as much difference to your search engine rankings as they used to. I mean, if we go back 15 years... It was a big deal, wasn't it?
It was all about keywords.
Yeah, having a domain that matched the search term got you right up the top. Whereas that's less the case now, isn't it?
No, that's right. It's all about the quality of your website. That's
and the content on
it. The words and the absolutely. That's
If you are a business that serves a specific locality, so, again, everyone sends their foot to plumbers, but if I was a plumber in Solihull...
Yeah.
It's absolutely in my interest, isn't it, to have the words plumber and Solihull in my domain name. Even if my business name was Nige's.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, or NJB Plumbing. You know, now I might well buy the njbplumbing.co.uk website, but I also want to buy bestsolihullplumbers.co.uk, for instance, and make that my main site.
Make that
the main
one.
Drives to it, because A, it positions me properly. And if it's not best, then, I don't know, friendliest or whatever it may be, you know, but...
on time.
Solihull's favourite plumbers or whatever. You can play around with the different variations on the domain. But having the location in the domain can help hugely, can't it?
It can. Having some keywords, and especially locations... It does help. It still does have its place, but nowhere near as much influence as it used to.
Yeah, because people forget when we tend to forget the way people use the web and we use it ourselves, because most people will search for
what they want and
rather
where
than
they
NJB
want
plumbing. Solihull plumbers.
Yeah,
what's it? And that's where it can help you to get found. Whatever business you do. So back to that little question, that little pop quiz, then, Glenn.
Yes.
Okay. So I was a little bit surprised about this. So you telling me that the first domain name ever registered, and I do believe you on this, was a company called Symbolics.
Yes.
Whatever happened to Symbolics? Sounds like a kind of mid-80s band, actually, doesn't it? The Symbolics. Up next, we've got the Symbolics with their latest top 10 hits. It's coming to you. Domain names registered. Symbolics.com was registered, Glenn, when?
March the 15th.
March the 15th! What year, Glenn?
19.
Yes.
85.
85! That's like 32 years ago.
Yes.
So if you're listening to this and you are not yet 32 years old...
Domain names are older than you.
Domain names are older than you. Now, I think that would surprise a lot of people. I have to say, I would have thought it would have been early 90s.
Yeah.
I'd love to find the story about that. Symbolics Computer Corporation, apparently. Are they still going?
The domain's still live.
Yeah.
And it's...
We've not done our research properly.
We haven't. The domain's still live, but I think you can pay for space on the domain name.
Oh, really? Okay.
For advert space on the domain name, because it's the first domain
people
name.
People go to it.
They want to be part of the first domain, etc.
So this is another interesting stat here. Now, this is very interesting. So I don't know when you pull this piece of information off, but it'll already be out of date by the time people listen to this. But there are, apparently, according to Glenn Piggott, Soundwave Marketing, 311,301,799 domain names registered in the world. That is a lot, isn't it? 311 million is an awful lot of domain names, and it is going to get harder, isn't it, as time goes on to
find one which fits.
Yeah, although having said that, I've never been defeated yet. I haven't always got the ones I wanted,
the ideal, but we're
always able to find something that actually does work. And I mean, we do on a lot of domains, because you've seen things. We had a Rejoin January domain and stuff. Yeah. You can find stuff, and it just requires you to be a little bit creative. Because most, I would go as far, certainly as we move forward now into the next decade, it will become the norm for businesses to own multiple domains to support different campaigns and different things that go on. But and the most expensive, I mentioned that one, Stuart Bevans, was a very sizable, I believe it was a six-figure deal when he sold it to Shire PLC. But that pales in comparison to the most expensive domain name that's ever been sold. And this was it happened 10 years ago, 2007. So pre the crash,
indeed,
which will be a factor there. So 2007. And the domain name that was purchased was vacationrentals.com. Now, actually, interesting, because when you have typed this out for me, and this is an interesting point as well, because people forget about this, you've got a capital V on vacation and a capital R on rentals.
Yes.
No, but that's a really useful tool, isn't it? Because it doesn't... When people type things in, domains... I think I'm right. Again, correct me if I'm wrong here. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of not case-sensitive when you type it in.
No.
But that does allow you then, when you show things in print, you can use capital letters to help pull out the words, because it can be...
Especially if it's quite a long domain.
Yeah, but even a short one, like we've got the new domain for my EC Hub.
Yes.
Now, I wanted EC Hub, but EC Hub has already gone. Mm-hmm. So we've got my EC Hub. Yeah. Now, if I write that all the same letters, it does look a little bit... What's that going on? But if I use capital M... small y, capital E, capital C, hub, my EC hub. Oh, people get that. Are you with me? And I can use capital letters to make it clearer what it actually says.
And as well, I've seen it. I can't remember the exact samples for you now. But when you put words together like that, all as one word, they can make up other words.
Yes, they can.
Which can be quite rude sometimes.
Yes, okay.
So if you use capital letters, that breaks it up.
Yes. So how much, Glenn, did vacationrentals.com, and we'll do a little test here, especially if you're in the car with other people when you're listening to this. We'll play a little game now, okay? So have a little guess. So what do you think the price paid for vacationrentals.com was back in 2007? It was the highest price ever paid for a domain name. I wonder if they've got an effective return on investment yet. So if you all had your guesses, okay, Glenn... Is it more than $1 million?
Yes.
Wow, okay. So it's more than $1 million. Is it more than $2 million?
Yes.
Is it more...
We could be here for a while if you carry on this.
Really? Is it more than $5 million?
It is.
Is it more than $10 million?
It is.
Is it more than $20 million?
It is.
Oh, my goodness. Is it more than $30 million?
It is.
Is it $35 million?
It is. Wow. $35 million.
That's a heck of a spend, isn't it?
It's not small.
I mean,
change.
The exchange rate was a bit better back in 2007.
But
so
now,
so probably that was something like 22, 23 million pounds.
Yeah, I think it was 21.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was doing pretty well. I was a 10-year-old. Forgive my knowledge of exchange rates historically is not completely encyclopedic. I did pretty well there. But it's that's a hell of a spend, isn't it, for a domain?
It's a lot of money to first.
And do we have any indication as to whether that's been a good investment for them or not?
No, I don't know. Okay. I have no idea.
Google was a mistake, wasn't it?
It was. It's quite an interesting one, this is. But I didn't know this until I found all the research. If you put 1 followed by 6 zeros, that's a million.
Yes. And 7's a billion.
7's a billion. If you put 1 with 100 zeros...
Yeah, I knew that. That's a Google.
That's a Google.
That's right. I did know that.
Oh, but you knew more than that.
I did know that. But it's not. But it's spelled differently.
It's spelled differently.
That's a Google. G-O-O-G-O-L, isn't it?
It's a
Google.
Google, if you
yes.
like. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what Larry Page and Sean Anderson were trying to register.
Okay.
When they started off Google.
Yeah, you see, I think this story is a little bit apocryphal. Okay? I like this story. But I don't think it's quite true. I'll let you tell it as you believe it to be the case. Go on.
Well, legend has it
yes.
that they mistyped it.
Yeah, you see, I just don't believe that.
No.
I mean, they are... The capacity... I do know, it's a well-known fact, made up, that most techies have some form of mild dyslexia. Because they can't spell.
No.
They can't spell. I've employed a lot of techies. And bless him, Nathan, in my team, who is fantastic. I wouldn't swap Nathan for anything. Nathan is a brilliant member of our team. But, oh, my God. I mean, he can't spell. And but I just don't believe...
Unless it's in code.
...that Larry and... Was it Sean? Sean, who registered this domain. I just don't believe that was a mistake. There's just no way.
Well, I looked on the keyboard and the O and the E are quite a distance away on the keyboard.
Yeah, but you'd see it. I get how you might type it in wrong first of all. I could get that. I could get they're searching it. I could see how they could type it in. But they'd spot it. They wouldn't carry on and buy the domain and build the business.
No, when you buy it, I don't know what it was like then, but when you buy a domain, there's several stages and it comes up all the time.
That's what I'm saying. I think they've seen Google, which is a really good name. And then, that's a nice way, because now when they tweak the spelling, they've now got a completely original word.
Absolutely, which they can then trademark.
They can then trademark and protect it.
Absolutely.
But it's still quite a nice story.
True.
It's quite a nice story. Hey, listen, so have you got any more amazing facts? Have we exhausted?
That's enough.
I've always been interested in people this, because I mean, the key point and that triggered Glenn to drop me a line was this issue around, particularly with companies, not owning their own domain, unwittingly not owning it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then not being able to do things with it. And I think that we covered it right early on at the beginning of this broadcast, the importance of you having ownership of your own domain name, and then secondly, being able to actually access it so you can do things with it. That's the really key message of the broadcast today.
It reminds me of insurance, because you think you're insured properly, but until it comes to the claim,
you
find out you're not. It's the same with the domain name. You think you've got the domain name, and then when it comes to actually changing something, you can't.
Exactly right. So I think we're there. So Glenn Piggott, very, very knowledgeable man, knows a lot. There ain't much about websites he doesn't know, and if you need any help with yours at all, he's a very shy man, but he is someone that I recommend thoroughly and fully that you should talk to. You can find him on the EC Marketplace.
Yes.
He is one of our trusted suppliers, so we stand behind Glenn and Anna and the great work that they do. As I say, they've done a lot of work for me here at EC, so I have no hesitation at all in kind of endorsing and recommending the two of them if you want to talk to them. But whoever you use, wherever your website sits, the message from this podcast, please make sure that you own the domain and know how to access it.
Absolutely.
Glenn, thank you ever so much for joining me.
Thank you.
We can now get out of this sort of car in the car park, and you can have that enjoyable cross-country drive home back to King's Lynn. It's been a pleasure having you with me. Thanks for coming. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Nigel. Bye.
You've been listening to The Botcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is copyright Entrepreneur's Circle 2015.